These days, of course, are set aside for us to be thankful and to honor and recognize the dads that God's given in our lives. And if you are a father, of course, you're honored. We'll have a gift for fathers. But I also recognize that days like this, whether it be Father's Day or Mother's Day or others, there sometimes can be different emotions. And it might be that you're not with your family and you want to be. It might be that you'd like to be a father, but that hasn't been God's plan in your life. It may be that maybe there's not the relationship there with your children that you wish there were. Or maybe since last year, maybe a dad or somebody has gone to heaven. I understand all of those things, and I would just say that whatever the case may be, number one, just as our sermon series says, whatever it is that you're feeling, let's seek to live outwardly and rejoice with those that do rejoice, but also weep with those that do weep, the Bible says. And understand that no matter where you find yourself in your life at this time, the Heavenly Father is there for all of us. And your Heavenly Father does love you. If you're not a child of God, let's make today the day that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you do have a Heavenly Father that loves you and that cares for you and that does see. The Bible says we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because of the fact that we have a God who knows, a God who cares, a God who sees. This isn't my message, not even in my notes, but Lord just put that on my heart right now. Because of the fact that we have all of those things, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may be able to find help, obtain mercy for our time of need. And you do have a Heavenly Father that loves you wherever you find yourself. And to the dads that are here this morning, we say, Happy Father's Day. There'll be a gift for you to pick up on your way out in the lobby there. And being a dad isn't always easy, is it? I heard about four dads back in the days when dads used to wait in the waiting room. They didn't go into the labor and delivery room. How many of you, you're a dad that was your case? You were out in the waiting room. Anybody like that? A few of us, you were in the waiting, not us, a few of you. I tried to convince my wife of that because I don't like those kind of, I really did. The first baby, when Ashton was ready to be born, I told my wife, have your mom go in there. You guys can, I'll be in the waiting room. Just come tell me. I don't like all that stuff. In fact, I've never, I'm a little embarrassed of it. I think it was Ashton, the first baby. The nurses were caring for my wife, caring for mine. I'm standing there asking, are you doing okay? I'm doing fine. Come on, baby, you can do this. You got it, Tiffany. And all of a sudden, the nurses looked at me. Are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. You're kind of pale. You don't look like, why don't you sit down right here? And they were scared that I was going to faint. And I had to sit. And all of a sudden, all the attention went from my wife over to me in that room right there. And I don't like to see loved ones in pain. It's not, I don't faint at the sight of blood or anything. Our children have had stitches and broken bones and things. I don't faint at the sight of blood, but I just don't like to see loved ones in pain. And I tried to convince my wife to let me wait in the waiting room and have her mom go in there with her, but she wasn't having any of that. And so I ended up in the waiting room. But back in those days, I heard about four dads that were in the hospital because as their wives were, and they were in the waiting room as their wives were having babies. And a nurse came up to the first new dad and he said, congratulations, you're the father of twins. And the dad said, that's crazy because I work for the Minnesota Twins. A nurse said to the second guy, congratulations, you're the father of triplets. He said, that's wild, I work for the 3M company. A nurse told the third man, congratulations, you're the father of quadruplets. He said, that's amazing because I work for the Four Seasons Hotel. The last man began to tremble and groan and bang his head against the wall. What's wrong? The others asked him. He said, I work for 7-Eleven. Being a dad isn't always easy. I don't know where you find yourself or what stage of life you're in, but I do hope that you're enjoying it. And speaking of 7-Eleven, we find our text in Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 11. Matthew, if you'll turn with me there, if you don't have a copy of God's Word with you, there should be one in the pew rack in front of you. You can grab and follow along. I always encourage God's people to keep the Bible open. And the truth of the matter is, every message is a little different. Where God directs is a little different. Sometimes, I think just in the last week or two, we went through an entire chapter, about 30 or 40 verses in one message. This morning, we're going to be in two different spots, and it's really a more practical, what I would call a topical message, and that's not always the way that I preach, but this morning is a little more practical. It's a very simple, two very simple thoughts this morning for us. But we're in our series, Outward, Living a Life Beyond Yourself. That comes from our church theme this year, Upward and Outward, Loving God, Loving Others, comes from Matthew and chapter number 22, as Jesus gave them the great commandments. the great commandment, and then said the second is like unto it. And we've been, this is our fourth week in this series on outward. The first week was outward in your priorities. We looked at that barn builder syndrome. Second week was outward in your mission, the heart for missions, the mission of the church is missions. And then we looked 2 weeks ago outward with our talents, using our earthly skills for eternal impact. And last Sunday morning, I was here, but I did not preach. Brother Sammy preached. We brought the Spanish in and had a wonderful communion service together. And so we jumped back in, and it's fitting that we would be in this series of outward for Father's Day, because that is exactly the life that a biblical dad is called to live. Now, I believe that the principles that we give here today will apply whether or not you're a father, but we see here on Father's Day, we are going to take a look specifically at that, of the role and the calling of a father biblically to live outwardly, and to look at that. And our prime example there is the Heavenly Father. What did the Heavenly Father do? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave so that we could become the sons of God. He lived, if you will, outwardly. It was about what he could do to help redeem us and to rescue us and to reconcile us to himself. And he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for your salvation and for mine. And this morning, I want to bring to you a message. And I said a few weeks ago, I don't think I'll need to be long. I actually felt badly after the service. I think I said at one point in the message, 5 or 10 more minutes and we'll be done. And I think I went another 20 minutes. And I felt badly because I felt that was dishonest. I shouldn't say that. I hadn't planned that way. But I really don't think we'll have to be long this morning. Some simple thoughts. But I wanted to bring a message entitled this morning, A Godly Father's Example. And the message this morning is outward in your family. As dads, our example is so important. The late Fred Astaire said, the hardest job that kids face today is learning good manners without seeing any. Our example is so important. Children will always benefit more from models than monologues, from our examples than they will from our lectures. Who you are is speaking so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. We're going to talk today about the example of a godly father, and that a godly father is one that should seek to live outwardly, meeting the needs of his family. It's interesting, as you study the biblical roles of family, and by the way, family is a God-ordained institution. It's why we, after thousands of years, don't have the right or the freedom to rename or redefine what a family is supposed to be. It wasn't a human institution to begin with. The family was a divine institution, and the Bible makes it very clear what a family is. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they two shall be one flesh. That's God's definition of a family. And God is the one that designed the family. He's the one that ordained the family. He's the one that instituted the family. And so if he is the operator and the instructor, we go back to the instruction manual, and God's word gives us the instruction for his institution. And it's interesting, as you study the biblical roles and relationships of a Christ-honoring family, the secret to every person finding joy and fulfillment within that God-ordained institution is found in living outwardly. And that goes completely against what we think is where we'll find happiness and joy and fulfillment. If you have the same sin nature that I have, if you're anything like me, I think I'm going to be happiest when I'm served the most. I think my life is going to be easiest when all of my needs are met. And the Bible, I think that's where I'm going to find satisfaction and joy and fulfillment. But the Bible says actually the exact opposite is true. Where we find true joy and true fulfillment and true happiness is when we find the secret of living outwardly, living a life beyond ourselves. You study Paul's teaching on the family in the New Testament. And what does it say? What is the one command given to husbands? Husbands, love your wives. You know what the command is, husbands? Live outwardly. Don't live for your own needs. What is the command to the wives? Wives, submit to your own husbands. Wives, live outwardly. Don't live for yourself and your own needs and your own happiness. What does it say to children? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey, live outwardly. Don't live for yourself. Why does my mom and dad always make me do that? Why do you don't understand me? You this. No, children, obey. Live outwardly and you're going to find God's blessing. What does it say to fathers? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. It goes on with masters, live for your servants. Servants, live for your master. You know what God's word teaches us? That true joy, true blessing, true fulfillment, true happiness comes in every role and relationship in life, not in being served, but in learning to serve. And so tonight, today, this morning, we look at the biblical role, the example of a godly father is one that is seeking to live outwardly in his family. There are all types of fathers today. There are absent fathers. We call them maybe deadbeat dads, or maybe there's been a father that's passed away, and there's an absent father. There's not a father in the home. I grew up raised by a single mom. I did not. Now, my dad has been in my life, but I didn't grow up a day of my life with my father in my home. And for a year or two, I had a stepfather in my home, and then there was a divorce there. And so I've been through some of that, but we have, and those numbers and those statistics, I won't give them to you this morning, but they're climbing ever higher as we get away from God's plan and God's design and God's pattern for the family from the Bible. And there are many absent fathers. There are those that are not absent, but they're distant. They're in the home, but they're really not present. They're really not active. They're wrapped up in their personal interests. And it might be a career that they're wrapped up in that they put above the family. It might be a hobby that they put above the family. It might be time with friends or guys. And I'm not saying you can't ever have time with friends or do fun things. But there are fathers that are absent from their family, and they're addicted to entertainment, or they're on the computer or video games. Or you can list a whole long, but they're in the home and they think, I'm doing my job because I haven't left my family, but they're distant. But my guess is that the vast majority of fathers in this room have a desire to not be the absent father and not to be the distant father, but to be that active and present father. That father that is committed to their families, that is sacrificial, seeking to be a godly example of what a father is. And that's what I want to address today. Just two simple thoughts about a father that is living outwardly. It's been said that children spell love. T-I-M-E. We ought not be absent, we ought not be distant, we ought to be active and present in the lives of those eternal souls that God gives to us. This past week, I was reminded of a good example of a dad sacrificing something he desires for the good of his child. I'm not a big golf fan. Some of you are. I don't mind it. I love to be on a course. It's beautiful and relaxing, but I'm not very good at it, and I don't really enjoy watching it so much on TV. But this weekend, there is a PGA major tournament going on. Some of you may be following it. It's called the U.S. Open. And there's probably one person on the face of the planet that was more excited about this year's U.S. Open than any other person, the famous golfer Phil Mickelson. They call him Lefty. Phil, you see, he hasn't missed this annual major tournament since he failed to qualify for it in 1993. He's been in every one of these for almost 25 years. And if he were to win this year's U.S. Open, Phil would have what they call the career grand slam. There are only five humans that have ever walked the face of the earth that can make that claim, and there's only one that has done it in the past several decades. Mickelson is one of the best golfers in the world, and there are four major tournaments each year. He's won three of them. Take a guess which one he hasn't won. The U.S. Open. He's been very close many times. In fact, he's finished second six times. Six times in this tournament. It's the one he can't get over the hump on. One of the times when he finished second was back in 1999. He lost by one stroke the day before his daughter Amanda was born, his eldest daughter. He finished that tournament and flew back to be by his wife's side as they welcomed their beautiful daughter into this world. I think we have a picture of his family there, and this was several years ago. I believe it's the one on the right of that picture is Amanda. Back in 99, he lost by one stroke and flew back. The very next day, Amanda was born. The last time that Mickelson finished second at the U.S. Open was in Marion in 2013, the week that little girl graduated from eighth grade. Mickelson attended her eighth grade graduation ceremony on a Wednesday night. He flew through the night to Philadelphia, arrived at 4 a.m., took a quick nap before his 7:11 a.m. tee time, and he took the 54-hole lead. After 3 days, he had the lead until Justin Rose surged past him on the back nine. And for the third time, that precious little girl this year would affect his chances at winning the same tournament in 2017. You see, his daughter is the senior class president at Pacific Ridge School in Carlsbad, California. And her graduation ceremony was Friday night. So what did Mickelson do? He missed the one tournament that he wants more than anything else. He decided to withdraw. This is his living. This is his life. He's achieved just about everything except this one thing. But he decided to withdraw so that he could attend his daughter's graduation ceremony. You know what he said? He said, "It's a tournament that I want to win the most," 2 weeks ago. He said, "The only way to win it is if you play and have a chance. But this is one of those moments where you look back on life and you just don't want to miss it. I'll be really glad that I was there and present." There we see a dad seeking to keep his priorities straight, seeking. He could have easily, I'm sure his daughter would have accepted it and would have understood. And honey, you understand. And I'll watch the video. We'll FaceTime later on that night. But here's a dad that said, "You know what? My professional success is not important as my family commitment." A dad seeking to keep his priorities straight. I'm going to give you two thoughts. First one begins here in Matthew chapter number 7, beginning in verse number 7. In this passage on prayer, the Lord gives us a little insight into kind of what our Heavenly Father does and what we should seek to do in our outward. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 7, he says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil," being sinful, fallen, imperfect, "if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children," notice those next three words, I have those underlined in my Bible, "how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" He gives the illustration of the Heavenly Father, and he says, the Heavenly Father, if we'll ask, if we'll keep a good relationship and communication open, and we'll have a prayer life, your Heavenly Father wants to meet your personal needs. And I want to give us the first challenge here as fathers living outward in our family, a godly father's example, a father that's like the Heavenly Father. We should seek to meet the personal needs of our children. We ought to be willing to sacrifice. We ought to be willing to do without. We ought to be willing to pray to meet the physical and personal needs of our family. Dads, number one, we ought to seek to meet those personal needs in the lives of our family. You say God's called us to provide for our own family, and when that's beyond our power, we ought to, like Jairus did for his child in Mark 5, we ought to pray that God, that Christ would come and help us. He says, Jairus said, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name," in Mark 5. "And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." He understood the need for God's help in his family. And as dads, what is the illustration here? How much more your Heavenly Father will give good things to them that ask him. The picture is the Heavenly Father seeks to meet the needs of his family. And this is one that I think for the most part that we all understand. Even in America, where there's been a breakdown in the family, we still kind of have an expectation. That's why we call them a deadbeat dad if they don't meet the needs. We kind of have an expectation and an understanding that that's what a dad is called to do. A dad should meet the needs. And this one is fairly obvious for us. In his first marriage, the famous John Lennon of Beatles fame fathered a son, Julian. The story is told, Julian knew little about the famous man who abandoned his mother and him. And Julian Lennon would later say, "The only thing he taught me was how not to be a father." We all make our mistakes, but may we never give our sons a reason to say the same thing about us. May we have a desire and a priority to meet their needs before ours. The call to be a mother, the call to be a father, really the call to every role in a family is to seek to meet the needs of those in our family before we seek to have our own needs met. Husbands, meet the needs of our wives, and wives, seek to meet the needs of your husband, and parents, seek to meet the needs of your children, and children, seek to honor and serve and bless and obey your parents. Parents, that is God's plan, that we would, within our families, live outwardly. Why are so many families breaking up? Why is there so much divorce? And why is there so many, and when there's not divorce, it's just one partner for a few years, and then another partner for a few years, and again, for those that have been divorced, I come from that. I understand that. I'm thankful. My mom is one of the sweetest, godliest ladies that I know, and I'm not saying this to hurt us, but why do we find those things so often? It's because one or both parties did not understand God's God's plan for seeking to live outwardly, they sought their own. Why is there so much adultery in marriage? There's somebody living very inwardly in that marriage, not outwardly. Not seeking to meet somebody else's needs, seeking to meet their own. Why can parents walk out on children? They're not living outwardly, they're living selfishly inwardly. Why can children walk away and dishonor parents? They're living very inwardly, not outwardly. And we ought to seek the example of a godly father as one who should seek to meet the physical, the personal needs of their children. But far more important, and I would say far more neglected in our country today, and it's our final point, number two, is that a godly father, the godly father's example, is one who seeks to meet spiritual needs. Now, the truth is, I did that for the sake of alliteration, I guess you can say, to be parallel. The truth of the matter is, we really can't meet the spiritual needs of our children. But we can take the spiritual lead for our children. There's really only one, the Heavenly Father, that can truly meet their spiritual needs. I cannot save my children and take them to heaven. I cannot force my children to love God. I cannot create a hunger and a desire in their hearts. I cannot convict them. But you know what I can do as a father? I can be a spiritual example. I can take the spiritual lead in my family. And that's what I believe very often is neglected. Probably there are some dads that have neglected to meet the personal or physical needs. But I would say a far greater epidemic in our country is the fact of fathers failing to take the spiritual lead and to point them to the Heavenly Father who can meet their spiritual needs. We can show the love of Christ to our children. We can be passionate, committed Christians. And by the way, just a word, you might be here as a child or a teenager and you say, well, I wish that I had a father that would take the spiritual lead. Or I wish I had parents that did that. I can't live for God. And we like to make excuses, don't we? Why? I can't be a good husband because I never saw one. And I can't be a good wife. Or I grew up in a broken home. Or I was raised by a single mom or a single dad, so I can't do that. For those that don't have the right example as parents, may I just throw in and just interject here for you. Take solace in the life of Josiah that you can still live for God. Josiah became the greatest king of Israel that there ever was. And you know what kind of home he had? Grandpa was evil. Dad was worse than grandpa. Dad was murdered in his home when he was 8 years old. He saw nothing but generation after generation of terrible examples. Nobody in his home loved God. Nobody in his country loved God. You go ahead and read it. Is it 2 Kings 21? I'm not sure for sure. And also in Samuel, I think you can find the story of Josiah. But you go ahead and read the life of Josiah. I'm challenging those of us that are dads to be the right example, but for those of us in this room that maybe don't have the right example, don't take that as there's no way that I can live for God. Oh, God can. Josiah changed his family history. He changed his national history. He changed his country. He changed everything. Why? The Bible says, it's an interesting verse. The Bible says he walked after the ways of David, his father. But here's the thing, David wasn't his father. But Josiah said, I didn't have a good example, so I'm going to find another one. I'm going to follow him. But we ought to seek to meet the spiritual needs, and by that I mean take the spiritual lead to show our children the needs they have and point them to that Heavenly Father. I'm afraid in America today that we have outsourced the spiritual development of our families far too often to the moms, and we want them to be the spiritual leaders at home and to the church and to the Christian school and to the youth group. Our children need to see godly men. This church, and we have many, many godly men in the church, and I'm so thankful for it. This church needs godly men. God has given and called men to be Christ-like men who love their wives, men of integrity, men of commitment, hard-working men, men who are more faithful to God and to his house than they are to their career or their softball team or their favorite sports team or their favorite TV show. God puts the responsibility in the Bible of spiritual leadership upon the father. I'm thankful for the godly single mom who raised me, but God's plan is that a child, if at all possible, have a godly father to follow and to lead the home. Dads, I want to challenge us in this brief, one of the shorter messages that I've preached, I want to challenge us, pray with your children. Dads, on this Father's Day, and you're here on a Sunday, make God's house a priority. Dads, serve God together with your children. Let them see you serving. Turn with me, the last place we'll turn. I want you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians, just a few pages over from where we were there. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I want you to see this example that God gives of the Father. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Dads, in your home, model the love of Christ. Let your children see you humble yourself and apologize. Love, show affection, show care. Maybe write a note. Read God's word together. If they come down to the altar at church, maybe come down next to them and pray with them. I don't know what all that means in your life, but as God has given you those children, I want you to see the illustration that Paul gives to the church at Thessalonica. We just got done on Wednesday nights. We just spent 14 Wednesday nights going verse by verse through this book. I want you to see what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 8. Notice what Paul says. Now, Paul didn't have children. We don't believe. We don't believe that he was married. I'm not going to throw my joke in there for that because it's Father's Day. I'm going to be nice to everybody on this one. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, beginning of verse number 8. Paul says, so being affectionately desirous of you, the Christians at Thessalonica, we were willing, notice what he says, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. We're going to get to our passage, but you see here, we were an example to you. We lived outwardly. We gave you everything we had to try to be the example. Verse 9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. Verse number 7, he likens it to being a nursing mother. Verse number 9, he likens it to labor and travail and the giving of birth. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Verse 10, your witnesses in God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. We were examples to you. Verse 11, and as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you. What does it say there? Would you read to the end of the verse, beginning with the word as, in the middle of verse number 11, from as to the end of the verse. Ready? Begin. As a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. What does Paul say? It's an expectation that a father would give his whole life to point you to Christ. That a father would labor night and day. Why? To live outwardly, to take the spiritual lead, to see you birthed in Christ and grown up to maturity. Dads, you're here in church. I understand. I think all of us want this to be the priority, but it's a good reminder and reset for all of us. This is the priority. I love sports. My boys play in sports teams and sports leagues. They're going to go to a sports camp this summer. I love sports, but the most important thing as a dad is not my children's athletic achievements. I'm all for academics. We reward our children for their report cards. We push hard on that. But the most important metric of success as a father is not my children's academic achievements. And we could go on and on and on. The most important metric of success for a Christian father is the spiritual development. You go back through that verse, what did he say? We labored night and day, travail, worked. We were examples to you. We wanted to build you up and to see you grow. And we wanted you, and you saw how we lived for God. We were examples, holily and justly and unblameably. You could look at us and see the example of what a father, a Christian should be. And he said, and then he used the parallel, even as a father doth his children. Dads, you and I, we need to today, again, maybe rededicate ourselves to take the spiritual lead. You say, my children are already grown. I'm a grandfather. That your children still need to see a godly, holy example in a third or fourth generation. Your grandchildren need to see a faithful man, a faithful lady that loves God, that's living for God. What did the Heavenly Father do? Not only did he meet our personal needs, we saw that there, asking you shall receive, how much more your Heavenly Father will give good things, personal, physical needs. Not only did he meet those, but what did our Heavenly Father do? He also met our spiritual needs, didn't he? For God so loved the world that he gave outwardly. He went outward. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What was the priority? What did Jesus say? I came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's why I'm here. It's why I came to earth. I came to seek. I came to meet the spiritual needs of my children. Jesus, he made the ultimate sacrifice to redeem us. It wasn't about what he could do. It wasn't about his comfort. It wasn't about being served. He came to minister, not to be ministered unto. And so I challenge us this morning, how is your spiritual temperature, Dad. Maybe you're visiting today, and maybe God sent you today as a reminder, and I know that God's convicted me in my heart, a reset button, that maybe we've been meeting the physical needs. Maybe we've been going to work, and we've been making sure that the rent or the mortgage is paid, and there's food on the table, and they have the clothes that they want, and the toys, and the place to live. But what about the spiritual needs? Our Heavenly Father made our spiritual need, our redemption, our salvation, His ultimate priority. And I want to say again this morning, whether you grew up with a dad, whether you had a good example of a dad on this Father's Day, you can have a Heavenly Father. On this Father's Day, you can accept the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of salvation. You can have a Heavenly Father. And then for those of us that do know Christ as Savior, we do have a Heavenly Father, and God has given us children. How are we doing in living outward in our family? Wives, how are we doing in living outward in our family? Grandmas, grandpas, teenagers, children. You want to know true joy, true fulfillment? You want to know how the family will function the best when we live outward within those relationships? You want to know what brings a dysfunctional family? Inward, inward, inward. How are we doing in living outwardly? Yes, dads, meet physical needs, but don't neglect spiritual needs. Your children and mine don't need less church or less Bible or less God or less prayer or less spiritual emphasis. My children need far more of that. The Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It cometh down from the Father of lights. God gives us those good things. He helps to meet our personal and physical needs, but He also helps to meet our spiritual needs. He is the one. And so, dads, let me challenge us in our families to read together, to serve together, to pray together, to grow together, to make God a priority. And may I say this, you won't regret it, because you know what I'm learning? The older I get, your window of time to be that person that meets physical needs and takes the spiritual lead is extremely short, and it goes extremely quickly. That was reminded to me once again yesterday at about 2:00 in the afternoon, Brother Craig. As I had just given a welcome, and your beautiful daughter Hannah walked down in that beautiful dress in white, symbolizing purity. And I commend you and your wife for the family that God's used you to raise. And as Hannah walked down, and I watched, and there's a symbol in that ceremony where he says, "Who giveth this woman to be married to this man?" And he says, her happy mother and I. That's what Brother Craig said. Her happy mother and I. And you know what he did? He said, "My days of meeting your physical needs and my days of taking the spiritual lead in your life are now done. And Jerkweed, I now give you this." Is that what his name was? I forgot his name. Is that right? Something like that, right? That's what we'll call him privately. LJ, Luis, I now give you her hand. We say we give her your hand in marriage. What is he saying? Now it's your responsibility to meet her physical needs. Now it's your responsibility to take the spiritual lead. You know what I was reminded? In probably only 20 or 30 years, I'm going to have to do that same thing with my daughter. I was reminded that window for me, so many things get us so busy, don't they? Work gets so important, this and that, and the burdens and the emails and the this and the that. But you know what it all boils back down to? Yes, we need to meet the physical needs. If we don't provide for our own, the Bible says we're worse than an infidel. Yes, we need to meet the physical needs, but Christian men, let's be rededicated to taking the spiritual lead as a father doth his children. Paul in 1 Thessalonians. Our window to do that is so very short. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. God, I do thank you for your word, and Lord, just some simple practical reminders this morning. I pray that each family here, whatever stage they find themselves in, whether it's a single adult, whether it's a young married couple, whether it's a family that's raised their entire, maybe it's a single parent, maybe it's a single man or single lady in their 40s or 50s or 60s. I have no idea, God. There is a wide swath of demographics in this building. But I pray your Holy Spirit would have reminded us in our relationships, the key, the goal is to live outwardly. And for those of us that do have the title dad, I pray that we would be reminded that we are, as the Heavenly Father does, we are to meet the physical needs. But then even more important, dear God, as the Heavenly Father does, help us to take the spiritual lead, to point them to that Father that's the only one that can meet those needs. God, because of this message, may our homes this week have more prayer. Because of this message, may our homes, may we pray more for our children. One of your men this morning, God, as I walked in, he told me, I'm convicted to continue to pray even more for my children's future mates. God, may we, all of us, be praying more for our children than we are. And God, may we be serving more with our children. May we be loving more within our homes. God, may we be more sacrificial and less selfish. God, may we be more faithful to church and not less faithful. God, would you help us as the Heavenly Father? He loved us so much that he gave. Would we see that? And God, as husbands, would we be that picture of Christ? The Bible says that we're, as husbands, supposed to be the picture of Christ loving the bride, the church. God, may we show that example of a faithful, godly Father. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you're here this morning. And how many of you, is there anybody that would be here this morning that would say, Pastor, as you preached this morning, you talked about having a Heavenly Father. There's never been a time or place in my life where I turned in faith to Jesus Christ and accepted him as my Savior. If I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I'd like for you in just a moment to slip your hand up if that's your case. I'd like to pray with you. We won't embarrass you. We won't scurry you off into some back room and do. I just want to pray for you. You say, I came into church and I heard the gospel preached, the fact that Jesus died for me, but I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. Can I pray with you? I'll be honest, between you, me, and God, I don't know Jesus as Savior. I don't have a Heavenly Father. Pastor, pray with me. Just slip your hand up. I'd like to pray with you. Just slip it up until I see it. I'd like to have a word of prayer if there's anybody like that. I don't know for sure if I died that heaven would be my home. Pastor, pray with me. I don't know that, but I'd like to. Is there anybody? How many of us, whether we're a mom, a dad, a child, you would say, the Holy Spirit showed me something specifically in my role in life that I'm going to seek to work on in this idea of being outward in my family. Pastor, would you pray with me that I would have the strength with God's help to make the necessary changes to have the Christian home that he wants us to have? Pastor, the Holy Spirit spoke to me specifically and I want you to pray with me. Would you slip your hand up? I'd like to pray with you. Good, many hands. Lord, I do pray for these that have raised their hand and others that have not, that God, the truths of your word and these simple, practical, biblical principles this morning would change us. And God, in just a moment, as we spend some time in prayer, help us to seal some decisions in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand together. The piano begins to play. This is a time of invitation. It's just an invite. We're inviting anybody in this room that wants to come forward and spend some time in prayer. We're inviting anybody in this room that wants to maybe come down and pray for a child. Pray for a parent. Pray for a loved one. We're inviting anybody that has a special prayer need to see one of our pastors, and we'll have a man pray with a man and a lady pray with a lady. We'll be honored to pray with you this morning. And if you choose to stay in your seat, this is an invitation for you to spend some time in reflection and prayer, asking God to guide, to lead, and to help you in the life and the path that he's called you to. Pray for our families more, shall we? Let's seek to embody the attributes of Christ in our homes more, husbands. Wives, let's seek to be that church without spot or wrinkle in that picture. Children, let's seek to honor and obey. Grandparents, your job is not done. We still need your Christian testimony and your prayers at the throne of grace more than ever. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to gather with your people. I pray that this service would have been a blessing to each one that was here through the singing, through the choir, the baptisms, the congregational singing, the specials, the preaching of your word. I pray that, God, we would leave filled. Lord, we would leave more blessed than when we came in. And that, God, most importantly, that we would leave loving you more than we walked in this morning. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your people. What a wonderful, blessed body here. Thank you for letting me be a part of it, God. Pray your blessing upon each family. God, some of the families here, I know about struggles they're facing. Others, I have no idea. But Lord, we know that you do. And I pray that you would be that loving Heavenly Father that we would ask. And Lord, if we know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more will our loving Heavenly Father give to those that ask him? Help us, dear God, to fall more in love with you each and every day, I pray in Jesus' name.